Hey, welcome to Define a Fight on this fine Monday. I am really excited because when you hear someone's story and you can feel their story, you want them to be able to share that with the rest of the world. And my guest joining me today, I had the honor of listening to her speak via online, but then also to be able to meet her in person. And she has a heart full of gold. She is resilient beyond you can ever imagine. And today I have Penny Carpenter. She is a mother, she's a grandmother, a rancher. And I tell you what, you know, when all the cards sometimes feel like they're down, it's important that you pull your bootstraps up and you get to work. So Penny, I'm excited for you to share with people how you define your fight. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mariah. Oh my goodness. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and thank you for your kind words.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think you can agree with that, Penny, is you can tell when somebody's very heart-centered and, you know, you just want to learn more about that individual, and you clearly are one of those people.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That goes both ways. Like, it was nice to get to visit with you, and you have a great story yourself, so.
Well, thank you. You know, you want to share a little bit about yourself, Penny? We're going to dive in after individuals get to know you a little bit more. But, you know, you have different sayings of you can start over at the age of 60. You know, let's talk first about your ranch, your upbringing, and then we'll dive head first in.
That's awesome. So that's a story close to my heart. I grew up on a ranch. I live up in the Texas Panhandle, and it's blessed with a great mom and dad. We've got three brothers. We all ranch together. I mean, we all have our separate parts, but close family. We still get together, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, holidays. And so I have a great family, and been blessed with a strong family unit. My dad had polio when he was 20. And so I think I learned a lot from him. You know, like one of his things he used to tell us is can't never could do anything, you know, like we could not say can't, like that was not in our vocabulary. And I watched him and I thought, you know, we have no excuses. He was such a strong man. He's been gone now for 23 years, but he was such a strong man that I think he instilled a lot of grit and determination in me, you know, me and my brothers. He was a remarkable man. He was crippled, but he taught us to ride horses, work on fences, do all sorts of ranching things, sitting in a pickup. And after I had kids of my own, I figured out, you know, it's a whole lot easier to show people things than it is to tell them. And so my mom's his biggest supporter and was such a big part of my growing up too. And so I don't know, I was very blessed, you know, I was just very blessed with great parents.
Well, with great parents, but then too, growing up on the farm, it's a whole different type of lesson, right? So you're looking you're learning hard work, your ethics, all of those different things of how can I contribute to the family that everybody has an active role. So when you look at that with you and your siblings, what type of roles did you guys have on the farm?
You know, it's funny, my dad in ways, he was protective of me, but I worked like, you know, I worked like the boys did, like gathered cattle, branded calves, loaded trucks. You know, I did all the hauled, fed, chopped ice. So I've done all the same things, you know, that a lot of men do, and hard work never hurt anybody really. And, you know, I appreciate the work ethic that my parents instilled in me. They're some of the hardest working people that I know. And I feel like they instilled a strong work ethic and, you know, just never quit. But another thing that I think delayed gratification, I think, is another thing, you know, like you, we farmed and ranched, mainly ranched, but like we would sow wheat for the cattle, you know, and you have to wait for it to, you know, put it in the ground, then you wait for it to come up, then you have to wait for it to grow to feed the cattle. Like you breed your animals, you wait for them to have a calf or a colt, you know, raise cattle and horses. And wait for them to grow up and wean them, and then you start the process of training. And so I think delayed gratification is something that probably the whole world needs a little dose of, because we live in an instant gratification society, and that's not how the world works, really. So
no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Well, and you look at even like the fitness industry or the nutrition industry is like, we want a quick fix and we want it now, where it's like, what is that miracle drug that is just going to take me from today into tomorrow so I can reach my next goal? And the reality is this: great things require work, but they also require time. Like you had mentioned, the analogy of you have to plant the seed. You have to make sure that you're taking care of the soil. You have to water that seed. And it's the same when it comes to humans and individuals, especially when it comes to health or mental health or any of those pieces, is, man, we have to make sure that we're feeding ourselves in a certain way. But then we also have to wait for God's plan to really guide us to what is next.
Absolutely. We do. The Bible talks about, planting the seed. Apollos watered, but the Lord brings the increase, and so I think that's a good lesson for a lot of people to learn, and I think it was instilled in me at an early age just because of the industry. I was brought up in agriculture, teach a lot of things. It's not an easy life. It's a great life. I love the country. I love the people. I love the animals, but I think it instills a lot of things in us that maybe some people miss out on, if they grew up some other way. So,
and I think it also provides a greater appreciation for life, especially when you're creating it or when you're watching it. So whether it's your livestock, whether it's your harvest, there's so many, like the simple things. I think we've gotten so wrapped up into material things that we're really missing what the definition of life is. And it's how do we treat individuals? How can we empower other people to rise? And I know we're going to go into your story here shortly, Penny, because you do have a powerful story. I think each of us have stories that resonate differently with another, but to be vulnerable enough to share is where true strength really steps in. And I know that that's what you have. And our listeners are going to be really excited to hear more about you, because you know what? We think that life begins at, either when we're born, when we hit our 20s, 30s, or 40s. But the reality is our growth doesn't stop. It only stops when we choose to have it stop. So we're going to go into a quick break. But when we come back, Penny, I look forward to you sharing how you rose literally from the ashes. All right, so we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Hey, welcome back to Define the Fight. We are here with Penny Hardaway. And when I say resilience is her, it is. If I was to look it up in the definition or in the dictionary, I think Penny Carpenter would be right there. And there's one statement that popped into my head that when we were on break is, one never knows where the road might lead you, but through God's eyes, you will be led to purpose. And I firmly believe that with you, Penny, and I know that you have faced many trials and tribulations and have overcome adversity. So I really want you to share, Penny, coming from and being in a small area, I know the closest town, it was what, 629 people, what that looks like. And when the storm hit, how you were able to overcome.
We have the best little town up here in the panhandle, and a lot of people don't realize. And I think, so many people grow up in big towns and are raised, but small towns, everyone's so connected, everyone knows you, with big events, everybody shows up for support, tragedies, people show up. And so, I think that shapes who we are too, not just our families and the ag lifestyle, but it's an agriculture community. And so, I've had the most amazing neighbors and friends, around here. So, people do show up, when things don't always go well. I got a divorce, 3 years ago, and after 34 years of marriage, and that wasn't anything when I got married, I got married for life, and it just didn't work like I wanted to. And I've loved the Lord and sure didn't want to bring anything like that on my family. But, Anyway, it's been a journey, changed what I did. Like, I raised cattle for a living. That's what I do, and horses. And to get a divorce, had to sell all my cattle. And so the Lord just led me down a different road. And I think obedience, kind of triggered that. Like, I was driving around one day. We had a terrible drought going on, and things just weren't getting solved with the divorce. And I was begging the Lord. I'm like, Lord, please, I am begging you to please let it rain. Like, I'm begging you, Lord. And plain as day, he told me, like, sell the cows. Like, sell the cow. I thought, well, that really wasn't the answer I was after, Lord, but
Right.
okay, all right, I will. And I think that obedience triggered something, and so he's had me on a journey. Like I said, I've loved the Lord my whole life, but he's had me on a journey that I would have never in a million years expected. But anyway, it's been a bittersweet, but the sweet on the other side of it's been pretty incredible. So
So when you look at selling your cattle, if an individual has never had livestock or has never had an animal, whether it's a dog or a cat, it's hard to really understand that connection, and it becomes your livelihood. And my dad's 74, Penny, and he just butchered their last two cows, and he's like, okay, I just don't want to have any animals over the winter. I want to be able to breathe a little bit and get some more, come the spring. And this was literally last week. He goes, Mariah, he goes, I have to tell you, I'm kind of sad. I'm kind of sad that I don't have cows or anything to take care of right now, because we've had cows. I mean, he's had cows for 43 years because we moved to the farm when I was 5. So talk about the emotions of what that was like, because how many head of cattle did you have? And that's a lot of pressure, and that's a lot of emotion to face.
Oh yeah. Oh, probably 500 head, and it was a lot to face, and you it does define who you are, because you become a caretaker, and most a caretaker of my family, and then also the animals. And you learn that you learn responsibility. I think that's one thing I'm proud that my kids got to grow up learning responsibility, and to put others and animals, ahead of your own wants and needs a lot of times, because when the weather gets bad and you're chopping ice, hauling hay and feeding cattle, that most of the time you don't want to be out in that mess, And I'm sure your dad was the same way, but it is bittersweet. Like, you get attached. I've raised animals my whole life. I've been a grew up on a ranch, and then I was partners with one of my brothers, and then with my husband and family. And so, but it's been cool. My daughter and son-in-law, and I've got three little kids. They live 5 miles from me, and then I've got two boys, and they all ranch and have animals. And so I can get my animal fix. I still raise horses, but I can get my animal fix, but not have to to do that hard work of chopping ice and hauling hay and feeding cattle in the bad weather. So anyway,
A hundred
it's
percent, 100%. So for you, after you sold your cattle, I really want to know, like, what was the message that God gave you? Because, it's sometimes people are always actively seeking an answer but aren't willing to take the action. So then they feel like God has failed them. And the reality is, God hasn't failed you. He's saying, hey, I'm giving you a little nudge. And all I'm asking you is, A, to trust in your faith, because faith is something that you cannot see, but what you feel. And it requires moving forward. And sometimes, even when we're in our darkest hour or darkest times, it's challenging. It's hard. It's like you don't want to go outside and take care of cattle when it's, I live in North Dakota. So when it gets down to negative 40, the last thing that we want to do is have basically icicles coming from whatever orifice it comes from. But, right? But for you,
Right.
what was that calling or that nudge where it's like, okay, everything is going to be okay?
I think, I've had a lot of time to reflect on this now, but every time we loaded a truck, I cried, because it was like the end of a stage of life, you know, and I always thought I'd be a rancher forever, you know, and I still am. Like I've said, I still have horses, and I may get some more cows one day, I don't know. You know, I thought, okay, I've got to figure out a way to make a living. And so I, you know, did some other things, but the Lord led me in a certain direction. But I also stepped out, you know. Sometimes when you have something that sets you back, you kind of want to withdraw into yourself and not, you know, I was worried about what would people would think, you know, like, you know, what are gonna people gonna think? Like I'm divorced, you know, and nobody else in my family is, you know, and that was not anything that I was proud of by any stretch of the imagination. But then you realize you've got to get over yourself, and the Lord had me on a journey, and I just went to seeking Him, and you know, and really trying to figure out what He had for me. And it's funny. It's oftentimes nothing that we ever expect, you know. Anyway, it was a direct sales company that I was led to, and absolutely was not headed in that direction. I didn't think that was what the Lord had for me, and the joke was on me, you know. He did, and He confirmed it with some words at a Christian conference I went to. And then I was like, okay, Lord, like I've got it. I see where you're leading me. And okay. And I told Him, I said, all right, Lord, I'm here for whatever you've got for me. Like I am here. Lay it on me, sign me. I'm here, you know, I'm here to be a vessel for you, like whatever you've got. Anyway, be careful what you ask for.
Well, and the crazy thing is too, is like make sure that you're clear with your intentions or trying to manifest things, because you know what? Sometimes like, yes, God, give it to me, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, no, don't, right? Because of certain, you know, make sure that you're putting positive energy and intention behind that, but also prepare. And I think with anything in life, make sure that you're clear. And God sometimes will make you question like, this is it? This is what you want me to do? I'm going from ranching to direct selling. What is going on here, right? So two different extremes. But when we don't question and we really truly listen, there's so many different relationships that are built in different avenues or different professions that guide us into something so much larger than ourselves. And it's a beautiful thing, you know, and being in a small town, I grew up in the country with about 300 people. So I'm very aware of the support, and then also the concern of, okay, what are people going to say about me? Because they probably know when I went to the bathroom last, because that's how small towns are. They know anything and everything about you. So there can be that underlying fear of self-judgment, of sabotaging ourselves, but then also to the curiosity and just the fear of judgment. And we have to recognize that, you know what? The only person that is judging us isn't even God. God doesn't judge us, right? So we're judging ourselves worse than probably any critic probably would in our lifetime. So for you, I'm glad that you were guided. And we're going to go into a quick break, Penny, but I want to talk more about how you were brought to the next level or directed towards your purpose. So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Hey, welcome back to Define the Fight. We are here with Penny Carpenter, a legend of her own. And her journey has started in many ways, but her journey now has only just begun. And it goes to show that no matter where we are at in our chapters of life, that it is never too late to start something new. And Penny, I want to lean or lead back towards the Lord had a journey for you. And let's talk about that journey. You had said from ranching, which you still do with horses, but then being led to direct selling. Now, you had mentioned to me, you know, off air that you were in 22 different network marketing companies, and now you're diving back in. So I'm sure you were like, Lord, are you sure this is it? So let's talk about how you were introduced and how you're like, okay, yeah, God, I see you now. I see you.
Yeah, you know, if that isn't proof that you can fail a lot and then eventually succeed, you know, and you only have to be right one time. And so I knew that direct sales worked. So I, you know, I have an entrepreneurial spirit. You have to have that to be in agriculture. But I'd prayed for years, really, that the Lord would bring me something that would, you know, could supplement my income, but also bless people. You know, I love to help people, and so I did. I've counted up a while back, and I'm probably missing a few. But in my defense, you know, I didn't work hard at all of those. I was raising a family, and I just wasn't very good. And so when my kid's old basketball coach, Joe Navarro, called me, and we'd stayed in touch, and he called me in May of 2024, and was telling me about this little patch, and I thought, well, I need it for myself, my three kids, and my mom. I had some issues with my feet, and I thought, man, if it could help that, that would be amazing. And so, but I thought, I am not. This is not for me. I do the Bible study with a friend, with some friends, and one of my childhood friends, Kim, she kept trying to get me to work a business with her. And I'm like, Kim, like, I am not good at this. Like, you know, I'm not going to do this. This isn't what the Lord has for me, I don't think. And she said, well, in Bible study, we both felt like the Lord said, like, you're going to be in business together. And she had one idea, I had another, and neither one of us were right. The Lord had a totally different thing for us. But anyway, I went to shortly after I had quick results, you know, with this little patch. And so I went to a Christian conference, and the last night of this conference, that's when I was telling the Lord, like, I'm here for whatever you've got for me, Lord. And they had like a fire tunnel, like baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. And this man said, hey, you know, if the people that were helping with this conference, if their Lord gives them a word, like, they're going to tell you. And all week I'd just been working the business maybe 5 or 6 days, because after I had good results, I thought, it's selfish, like, for me not to share with people. You know, I didn't think of anything about building any kind of big business. I just thought, it's like knowing where the water is in the desert. I felt, you know, like I have to share with people. And so I'd been hearing people talk all week about how, you know, this is a blue ocean industry. We don't have any competition. And so that's the first time I'd really, you know, heard the term blue ocean, could, you know, with the product or anything like that. So start through this fire tunnel, and the first lady said blue ocean, and the next person said iron sharpens iron. And I knew what the Lord was telling me. Like, that was confirmation. He's like, this is what I want you to do. Because I was trying to do a digital marketing business. I'd been flipping houses. I'd done some contract work for an accounting firm, and that I just knew when the Lord told me blue ocean, that this was what he had for me. And I thought, all right, Lord, like, I told you I would do whatever you wanted me to. So I just put my nose down and went to work. And every time that I get asked to do something, like, I haven't spoken in front of people since I was in college. When some of us called and asked me to speak on stage, I thought, oh my, like, no, I can't do that. And then that little still small voice is like, you told me whatever I had for you, and this is what I have. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I did tell you that. So, all right. So I jumped right up there, and you know, you can fumble your way through a lot of things, but
And I wouldn't say
I
that you fumbled.
well.
I wouldn't say that you fumbled at all, Penny, because when I heard you speak, you connect. You're real. And you can have individuals that step on the stage and speak, and you can tell that it's very scripted and it's not from the heart. And it's almost like when somebody sings, you can tell when they are moved by the music when they're singing it. Like, they're singing from their soul. It's the same thing when somebody speaks. And as soon as you started speaking, I'm like, wow, I can connect with her. She has so much to offer, and to see and listen to your story, I'm like, she's only just begun. And you know, from direct selling, moving you to where you are now, it's a powerful thing, and it's a powerful message for people to make sure that they're not setting limitations on themselves, but also to be open to listen. You were open to listen at that, you know, that conference, you know, Blue Ocean, right? It's from the book Blue Ocean Strategy. And I don't know if you've read that book now. It's like, why swim in the Red Sea when you have the Blue Ocean? Everybody in the Red Sea is swimming and going after the same thing. And it's like, why would you want to compete against all these people when you have a Blue Ocean, which is limitless? So swim in the ocean. And then, hey, that's where you're truly going to grow and enjoy life. So, you know, Peggy, with your growth and clearly climbing, and if people don't understand what a direct selling is you have the opportunity to grow. And sometimes when we are an employee, we're in this position, and it could be for a year, it could be 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, and maybe you grow, maybe you'll get a dollar an hour raise, so on and so forth. But the reality is with direct selling, you also have an opportunity. Yes, you're clearly helping grow a business, but they're also helping you grow financially. And I think it's very important for people to understand in today's current timeframes, you know, where we're sitting with the height of inflation, the uncertainty in our country, it's important to have multiple streams of income. So whether you have your own job right now, and if you're looking at different streams, keep your eyes open, because that's really what it comes down to, is why would you want to enclose yourself into a box when you can break through the ceiling?
Absolutely. You know, the thing about direct sales, and I think I knew enough to know early on, like, it's one of the most incredible ways that an average person can make an above average income. And, you know, in the process, you know, it's not just like a regular job, like some people do some self-development, but I would say self-development really is a huge part of direct selling. You know, I've grown a lot as a person, and I've also learned there's a lot of things like I was brought up, you know, in the ranching business and with my dad, that, you know, you don't quit, you know, you can persevere. We're a lot tougher than we think we are. And a lot of people sell themselves short, you know, and we are our own worst critic. Most of us are. But, you know, I give myself a pep talk a lot of times, you know, if something doesn't go right or I didn't do my best, you know, get told no, I give myself a pep talk. And it's like, you know, I rebuke any spirit of rejection, condemnation, offense. Like, I won't take it on. I refuse to take it on. And, I compare it kind of like to riding horses. You know, you get bucked off, and, you know, I was always taught to get back on, you know, so you don't develop that fear that holds you back. So you just jump right back into the fight, give myself a pep talk and pick up the phone and call somebody or do something again. And so much of life, not just direct sales, but life is between our ears, you know. That's where most of the problems occur, to be honest.
Well, it's, you know, where we either win the battle or we lose the battle is really what it comes to, right?
Sure.
So, you know, and I've shared this numerous times on my show, and I'm going to share it again, is if you have never read the book by Jason Redman, he's a Navy SEAL that was literally wounded in battle but shot in his face. He wrote a book, Overcome, and it's talking about standing on the X. It's okay to stand on the X, which is whatever problem that you're facing, but it's very important to make sure that you don't stay there. So it's important to look at those emotions, reflect on those, understand where are the lessons coming from, but don't settle into that victim mindset or mentality where, you know, I want to be this Debbie Downer, because you know what, if you're talking about climbing and you want so many more things in life, that behavior, that personality, that mentality isn't going to get you to where you want to be. It's only going to attract that negative energy that you're outsourcing. And that is a powerful thing. So it's a great way to look and say, okay, where am I projecting, or what am I, you know, providing to the world right now? Is it positivity or is it negativity? And if you're not quite sure, look at your Facebook posts. You know, it's a prime indicator of, okay, if you're caught up in this political jargon, right, that's only sucking energy in life from who you are and what God wants you to provide. Fair?
Yeah. Right. Straight up. That's the truth. You know, we do project things onto people, you know, and we get to choose. We get to choose to be happy, even if things aren't going good. Like, we get to choose, you know, our response to that. And you can either choose to make the best and learn something from it, or you can curl up in a ball and be a victim. And I don't want to be a victim. You know, I don't know many people that do, but I think people unwillingly, like, they don't take a step forward, they freeze. And that's what, you know, when tough times hit, really, I think human nature is to freeze, you know, or withdraw. But walking through it can be, it's tough. Absolutely, it's tough. But then when you get to the other side, there's a sense of accomplishment. So it's no different than your training and stuff. Like, you get to the other side of that, and there is a feeling of accomplishment, and then you're like, well, I can do more than I think I can, you know?
I think too, and it's letting go of that failure component, right? We need to fail forward, right? So that's the key thing is,
Right.
and then also too is we develop so much in our low light reels that, you know, all of our low light reels really lead to our highlight reels. So if you are struggling, your struggle will lead to strength through action. So, Penny, we're going to go into a quick break, but when we come back, I want you to share some different tips for individuals that might be in that trap of like, okay, well, I'm going to stay in this spot. I don't really know if I can grow or not. You get the gist. It's like, what are some key things that you would like to share for motivations for individuals to rise up? So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. When we look at life, we have to recognize that the book isn't written for us. It shifts throughout life. And I think it's important for us to maybe not necessarily write in pen, but bring a pencil with a really good eraser, or maybe throw the paper to the side and just let the wind blow you where it blows you. I mean, that's really what it looks like when it comes to our chapters. Man, I don't know how many chapters that I don't think I want to take any of those chapters out, Penny. I'm going to be honest with you. But some of them, like, I do not ever want to revisit them again. So when we look at life and some key takeaways in rising in uncertainty or in adversity, what are some things that you would share to whether it's single mothers, individuals that are struggling right now, where they've really lost hope? How can you help provide a light or shine a light for them on some different actions that they could do to move forward?
You know, that's a great question, and it all, I truthfully, for me, and I think it would probably be this way for everybody, really, finding out who we are in Christ, like walking with the Lord and letting Him speak to who we are instead of letting other people speak to who we are. You know, a lot of times people tear us down, you know, like there's sometimes people aren't nice in the world, you know, whether, you know, wherever it is, home, business, you know, acquaintances, a lot of times people tear you down. And I think it was interesting when I figured out a lot of us struggle with the same things, you know, like a lot of us, you know, doubt ourselves. We're hard on ourselves. If we mess up, we think that's it. And once you realize that we all struggle with the same thing, and I've really, you know, poured into the Lord. Like I said, I've loved Him my whole life, but the last couple of years, I've really tried to find out who I am in Christ and the power that comes with the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot more. It's a lot easier to succeed when the Lord's walking with you, and if you learn to listen. And you know, I probably was talking too much over the years to learn to listen to the Lord. And so, I think that's the most helpful thing for people to start, like, is start with a relationship with the Lord. If you don't know Him, then you need to. And then secondly, look to somebody that has what you want. Don't, a lot of times people close to us or they can shoot our dreams down, you know, and it hurts our heart. You know, they don't believe in us. Or if the Lord has given you a dream or something and you share it with people and they just cut your, you know, pull the rug out from under you. And I think we need to learn to be discerning about who we listen to. And you know, people that are at a higher level than we are often are the most encouraging. They want you to do well. And people that are at your level, and I don't mean this in any, not talking about levels of people, but people that don't have what you want in life, don't take advice from them for the most part, about where you're wanting to go. Like if you have big dreams, then look to somebody that has big dreams and goals and has succeeded, and don't necessarily listen to somebody that is content where they all are in life. And that's fine if someone's content where they are, but that doesn't mean you have to stay there. So I think we have to learn to look outside of our little bubble to be inspired a lot of times. And I think it's very easy to let the people that we're close to, friends, family, acquaintances, neighbors, define what we can and can't do. And I think we're capable of a whole lot more than we think we are.
I wholeheartedly agree, and great points. Because you know what? The thing is, we try to go through life with this mentality, I can do it alone. And far too often, what we find is that we fall, we get kicked to the gravel, and all of a sudden, we're picking pebbles out of our backside because we're fighting and we're resisting leaning into the support of others, but also the support of the Lord, because that's what He's there for. And then your second point of look up to the people, not necessarily from an idolizing perspective, but look to people who are actively doing something and are successful at it. It's like trying to say that I want to be a millionaire, but then I'm hanging out with people that are broke. And it's not because they're less than from an individual perspective. They could be great, great people, but they're not taking steps to actively reach that dream and what you are trying to acquire. So make sure that if you want something in life, that A, that you're willing to commit to it. And then, two, when you're talking about whether it's friends or family, I'm a firm believer that God gave us a dream for a reason. He gave us a dream to fulfill it. And if there's individuals that are being anchors instead of wings, sometimes in life you have to pull out your pocket knife and cut the cord. And that's not being disrespectful or that you don't love that individual. But at the same point, it's like when you're in an airplane, they tell you to put on your oxygen mask first. That's what you need to do to make sure that you're also serving not only others, but you also have to make sure that you're serving yourself. Otherwise, you're never going to get to that phase of complete health and well-being as well.
Right, absolutely. I agree with everything you just said. It is a journey. We learn new things all the time, and I think the Lord has us. I think I had a season for raising my family. That was the most important thing, and now my kids are all grown, and so now I think He's got a different season for me, and my roots run deep, and I love ranching, and that's who I am. But then I love people, and I've been able to be around a lot more people. I've been able to pray with more people. I've been able to do life. It's been an interesting journey this last year and a half. A lot can change in a year. My life totally changed in a year, and we don't necessarily have to be so anchored into who we are. We don't have to lose who we are. And, I'm a rancher at heart and will be forever. But this is a different season of life for me, and I'm going to embrace it. And I encourage everybody else to do the same. We can have incredible people and learn a lot of incredible things from others. But the stepping out of your comfort zone, that's one of the best things that I've ever done for myself. It's one of the hardest things. But you're not going to grow where you're comfortable. You don't grow where you're comfortable. You have to step out.
100%. And I want to thank you for your kind words and for your motivation and inspiration, because that's what life is all about. But Penny, thank you so much for defining your fight and joining me this morning, because you are an inspiration, you are a light, and the best is yet to come.
Oh, thank you so much. This was an honor and a privilege to get to do this, and like I said, you're an impressive individual yourself. Like it's fun get to know you from afar. So,
Thank you so much, Penny. So until next week, everybody, until you define your fight, How do you expect to win your fight? So today and every day moving forward, take one step at a time, and you are going to define your purpose. We'll see you next week.